Well, that's our prayer and desire this morning, is that the Lord would come down and bless His Word to our hearts today. I'd like to begin with painting a little picture, a little story that's familiar probably to us, but for the sake of time, we won't go into all the detail. But if you will recall, when the children of Israel were in Babylon, eventually the king began to, Artaxerxes began to let some of them go back to begin rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. And eventually, there were enemies that were opposed to the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. They went to think, just keep in mind they had a job to do, as if we were gonna build a chapel. Let's just put it that way. Let's say we're gonna build a chapel, and there was physical opposition to that. And people would come out and try to sabotage the building of that project. And they were giving out false reports, and they were sending out, they were lying about what was going on. They were doing everything that they could to hinder the rebuilding of Jerusalem. So we find in the book of Nehemiah, in the fourth chapter, that it came to pass, and it mentions a number of those that were enemies of the Jews. It said they heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, and they were very wroth. They were angry because the walls are being built back. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, and this is Nehemiah, nevertheless we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night. And then in verse 15 it said, it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, and that we had returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work. Now, we'll just stop there for a moment. I want us to keep in mind what's going on. God's people knew what the enemy's design was. Their designs and their counsels came to naught. You know, this morning, the enemy has a design against each and every one of us. He has a trap laid, he has a snare put out, he has a place that he's going to try to cause all of us to fall away from our salvation. And he's working on it day and night. But the joy of this is that the counsel of the enemy and designs of the enemy are going to come to naught because if we stay where God wants us to be. So, the children of Israel did not say, oh, the enemy's against us, let's go get in the closet. Let's go cower in the corner. We just can't rebuild the walls. Now, they did that many times, didn't they? But in this place, we find them placing their confidence in God and saying, in spite of the enemy, we're not gonna run away, and we're not gonna go get in the corner, but we're gonna keep doing the work that God has for us to do. I want to encourage all of you this morning, keep doing the work that God has for you to do. Yes, the enemy is going to be there, but take note how they went about their work. It said, it came to pass that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held spears and shields and bows and habergeons, which is armor or coats of mail, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. So keep in mind, half the people were out working, and the other half were standing guard with their spears and their armor ready to do battle, protecting those that were doing the work. It said, they which builded the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. In other words, they were ready to fight. They were working. They were doing the job that God had for them to do in rebuilding the walls and rebuilding the city. And yet, they had their swords ready to fight. Now, the illustration here is that with one hand, those that had to go out, for example, I'm extrapolating a little bit, those that had to go out to the river and get water, and some had to get clay to make the bricks, They would carry their pail in one hand, and they'd carry their sword in the other hand. Because we know the enemy's out to get us, so we're going to go out with our sword, and we're going to work with the other hand. Do you know there is some analogy there that the Lord wants us to get hold of this morning? We've been preaching about what? Resisting the devil. Resisting the devil. God giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He'll flee from you. Now, we ought to be knowing these verses pretty good now, shouldn't we? But has the devil left you alone since we started this series? No, the enemy's out there. But we need to go out with have all the armor on. We're getting close to the end of that. Over in the book of Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to what? Withstand. Stand against the wiles of the devil. The Lord does not want us to get to a place that we feel like we cannot do the work God has given us to do. Young people, if you get to the place that you feel like, I just can't do this. I just can't serve the Lord. I've tried and it's just not working. I have some really good news from the Word of God for you this morning. There is a place, thank you, Levi. There is a place in the Lord that He has equipped us with everything that we need to go out and have victory against the enemy. Now the armor that we have talked about thus far has primarily been defensive. The helmet of salvation, I mean, there's some offense in there. But we're getting to something the Lord gave us, and at the end of the armor that He was talking about, He said, take the helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6, 17. He said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This morning, in our living for the Lord and in the work that we have to do, it is of utmost importance that we have the sword of the Spirit. It will enable us to go fetch the water. It will enable us to build the walls, but we need to have the sword ready to fight the enemy. If we do not have the sword of the Spirit, I am convinced this morning, you will not be able to live victoriously for God for very long. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we have already spent, I think, probably two services talking about truth. So we're not going to focus as much on the Word of God this morning, but I do want to say this. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to deal with our hearts. And if we are going to resist the devil, we need to have filled our minds and our hearts with God's Word that when we're tempted, we can combat that with the truth of the Word of God. David said, didn't he? Thy Word have I hid in my heart that what? That I might not sin against thee. So that we have hid God's Word. And when we need it, the Spirit of the Lord comes and He inspires that Word to us. He inspires it by His Spirit. Well, the Scripture also says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, when the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness, what did Jesus do? He quoted the Word of God, didn't he? This is why it's important to study the Word of God. You might, and again, I'm not saying you don't need God's Word today, because we do. We need to eat today. But the reality is, we need to feed on the Word of God, so when the devil comes in, we have some ammunition to use against the enemy. We have something to resist the enemy with. What we feed our minds with, we are what we eat. And what we feed on is what we become. If you want to have victory and draw closer to the Lord, then feed on the Word of God. Because when the enemy comes in, it's that Word that you will be able to use to fight against the enemy. There is also a place that the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, it says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit does what? The Spirit gives life. This is just one little aspect to this, but it is vital. If we're going to resist and stand against the wiles of the devil, It's going to take having the Word of God in our heart, personal revelation, and a personal experience that makes it alive to us. If we are living life based on the letter of the law, and I will say even specifically of the Bible in the New Testament, it's do this, don't do that. Okay, well, I can't go here and I can't do that and I have to do this and I have to do that. And we are doing it to a measure, to an external law, as good as it might be, we will not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It is going to take, see, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's the Scripture says that God would write His Word on our hearts. And it's that that makes it personal. When the Spirit of the Lord makes the Word of God personal, I'm no longer doing it so I'll please all of you. I'm no longer doing it just so I'll kind of fit into a certain group of people or a certain church community. It's because the Lord has divinely revealed His Word and written it in my heart. And when I am tempted and when I'm battling the enemy, it's not just that I'm trying to be this kind of person. It's this is real for me. And it gives life. There are too many people that have grown up knowing truth, having a head knowledge of truth, that don't, it's not alive to them. All it does is bring death. They hear the Word of God preach, it brings death. Their parents teach them, it brings death. It's like, I don't want, it just brings death. I can't do it. I can't live that way. I can't live a holy life. The good news is, you can live a holy life by the Spirit of God this morning. Because the Word, it's real to me now, because the Lord has divinely opened up my heart and my mind that when the devil comes in and tempts me, I have something to withstand against the enemy because the Spirit of the Lord has made me alive. It's not just a dead letter anymore. It's not a formal religion. It's a living truth of God's Word in our heart. Personal convictions. You know, it's important that you have personal convictions this morning because it only goes so far to say, well, my church teaches against it. Well, that's fine. The church down the road teaches something different. So what is it? Pick your own church and live how you want. But there's one truth. There's one God. So we need the Spirit of the Lord to reveal His Word to us and establish personal convictions in our life. That even when our brothers and sisters in the Lord are doing things, and you know it's not good for you spiritually, there is a conviction that the Spirit of the Lord puts in your life that I can't go there. I can't do that. I can't act like that because the Spirit has made this alive in my heart. Personal convictions. And young people, I want to challenge you. Seek God for personal convictions. The Spirit of God has revealed this to me. And when the enemy comes in, I'll tell you, there is strength when you say, the Lord doesn't want me to do that. There's power in that more than saying my church teaches against it. My pastor said not to do it. My parents don't want me to do it. Those things are good, but they only go so far. You want to make it all the way to heaven, it's going to come about by a personal revelation of God's Word in your life that I live this way because I want to and God has made it alive in my heart. That's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Which is the Word of God. There is, over in the book of Zechariah, in the 4th chapter, in the 6th verse, they were talking again about the building of the temple in this place, and he said, it is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, you're going to go out, God said, I have a job for you to do. I want you to go out and I want you to build. But it's not going to be by your strength. We won't ask again for a show of hands this morning, but how many of us have gotten to the place spiritually that we almost literally said the words, I can't do that. You know what? That's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. You can't do it. But the Lord has not left us defenseless. We can't make it against the enemy in our own strength. It's not by your might. It's not by your power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It is the Spirit of God that is our sword and our offense. One of our greatest offenses against the devil this morning is the Spirit of God. And that is the very reason why he told them, and I know these are familiar passages to most of you this morning, but in Acts chapter 1 in verse 4 to 8, the disciples and the 120 were assembled together and they were remembering when the Lord told them, he said, wait, wait for the promise of the Father, which ye've heard from me. He said, don't depart from Jerusalem. Now's not the time to go out and face the world and take the gospel out. I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. I want you to wait. And he said here, until ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Similarly, in Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with what? Power from on high. That's talking about God's power this morning. I believe that this is one of the greatest needs of the church. I believe it is one of the greatest answers to people who have an up and down experience. I believe it is the answer to backsliding. I believe that it is the answer to those that are struggling and it just seems like they're always continuously falling short. We all have temptations and there's going to be times for all of us we realize, Lord, I didn't quite get there and I wasn't quite what you wanted me to be, but we have an avenue of power that is a defense against the enemy, and that's the Holy Spirit. It has been the device of Satan that has caused many people to think that you come and get saved, you ask the Lord to forgive you and get justified, you're forgiven of your sins, and then just go on your way trying to serve the Lord. And then maybe way down the road, you come back and ask the Lord to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is a recipe for spiritual disaster. And so what the enemy did is he comes along with a one work, you just get it all at once. That is very scripturally incorrect this morning. He was talking all through the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit came to believers. The Holy Spirit came to those that had already made a confession of their sins and were believers in Jesus Christ. And yet the devil says, well, you either get all one or just wait a long time, because we believe there's two separate events. You ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin, and then later on down the road, you get the Holy Spirit, and he tries to put this long distance between there. I want to tell y'all something. That's about just as wrong as teaching that you get it all at once. Because when we get saved and we repent of our sins, the scripture says, put on the whole armor of God. Jesus himself told his disciples, you're serving me, I'm leaving now. And I'm not there, so you stay right where you're at. Don't go. Don't leave until you are full of power from the Holy Spirit. That is the sword that will enable us to fight against temptation more than all of the human devices that we can come up with. All of the good policies. All of the standards. All of the things that are good and they have their place. We need the Holy Spirit in our life to give us power when the enemy comes in. I've got my sword. Yeah, the enemy's out there. He's trying to hinder us from building. He's trying to hinder us from the work of God. But I've got a sword in my hand and I'm ready to do battle. Not in my own strength, but through the power of God. This morning, I trust that this is familiar to us. But I want to impress upon every child of God that if you want to live victorious, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's why Jesus instructed his disciples, don't go anywhere, but stay right where you're at. Don't go unequipped. It's kind of like going to, when you get saved without, and again, I'm not taking away from salvation, that it was a complete plan of Christ. Jesus said, I must go away that the Comforter might come. That's why Jesus came and shed his blood, that we could be cleansed and be a fit vessel for the Holy Spirit to come in and take up his abode. But if we only ask the Lord to forgive us of our sin, and we don't go on and say, Lord, now, and I'm not talking about necessarily in the same breath, but in very short order, start seeking the Lord to be filled with His Spirit, that we can have an offensive weapon against the enemy. It's kind of like taking a knife to a gunfight. You know what I'm saying? That's an old expression. There's going to be a gunfight, so they're all armed to the teeth, and they pull out their guns, and you pull out your knife. Who's going to win? Folks, we need to be equipped. If I'm going to be in a gunfight, you understand the analogy here. I'll take a sword. Want it to be the sword of the Spirit. But we want to be equipped. We want to be fully equipped to meet the challenges that we face. We are facing a lot of challenges in our society. There are a lot of influences that are trying to draw us away from God and to minimize the purity of holy living. It's all around us. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His influences. And when we have the Holy Spirit, there is power to say no to self. There is power. You say, well, when the enemy comes in, what? There is power to say no to the devil. And if you've gotten to a place that's like, I just don't have power to say no anymore, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you, and you need to come in a deep consecration to God and be filled with the Spirit. You see, being filled with the Spirit, and this is another thing the enemy has really liked to confuse God's people about through the years doctrinally. And I like to go back to just the basics of Christ, all right? I'm all for theology and studying the ins and outs, but there's been a little bit too much extrapolation of God's Word on this subject. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till ye be endued with power. You wait until I give you something. That's why he said it was a gift. I want to give you something. He didn't talk, let me just stop there, but let me just, on that thought. But let me say this, it was a gift that God gave. You get the Holy Spirit, you're still going to have temptation. People say, well, if I just get the Holy Spirit, I won't be tempted anymore. We're still in the flesh. We're still walking in the flesh. Yes, the Holy Spirit sanctifies and He purifies, but we're still in the flesh, which means we still have the ability to sin if we so choose, because we're walking in the flesh. But now we are equipped to be able to stand against the enemy and resist him, because there is the presence of God within us that enables us, when the flesh is weak, by the Spirit, to say no to the devil. And it is also a power that enables us to say yes to God. When you are tempted and you have the Holy Spirit, yes, the temptation is a struggle by its very nature. But when you have been equipped with the sword of the Spirit, you can say no and you can go on and work for God. But here's what happens when people don't have the sword of the Spirit. I have to stay within a protected environment because the enemy's out there, and I'm afraid of the enemy. Jesus said we're in the world but not of the world. He didn't want us to establish Saintsville where we all live here 24/7. Wouldn't that be miserable? Lord didn't design us to do that. He designed us to come worship together, to strengthen one another, to enable us to go back out to the world and live a holy life doing the work of God. But we can't do it without the sword of the Spirit. That's our defense and it's our offense, that I can go out, and if the enemy's in my way and he's hindering me from getting to the water, I'm going to keep on going, because there's a power that is greater than me that can enable me to overcome the enemy, and I can go out then not being so self-focused. Without the Spirit, the struggle is just continuously focusing on our own life. I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to serve God, and I'm trying to be obedient, and there's hardly any mental or spiritual energy to go out and work for God. And we wonder why the work of God is suffering. It's a lack of the infilling of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. When we have the Holy Spirit, it enables us, yes, we're still tempted, and yes, there are still struggles, but it still enables us to go out and do the work of God, because greater is He that is in me, that's the Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world. Power to live a holy life. You know, I believe that Peter, when Jesus was taken and crucified, Peter, if he would have had the Holy Spirit, would have been able to look at those men in the face and say, I am one of his. I am a disciple of Christ. It was a very different Peter that we see on the day of Pentecost when he said, you are the ones that crucified the Lord. In just, what was it, 50 days before that, he was cowering in the corner. I don't know him. I don't know who he is. The difference was the Holy Spirit. I want you to wait until you get your sword. Young people, don't go out and face the world without a sword. It won't work. And you can come back to the altar. You can come back in failure and keep coming back. As many times as you need, keep coming back. But I want you to know the good news is this morning, he said, take on the whole armor of God. Here's all the protection that we've talked about, but I want you to take the sword of the Spirit so you can go out and fight and win by my power. I thank the Lord for that. In other words, it's more than just trying not to do wrong. It's doing right. We can fight, well, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. Now, Brother Justin went through some of the fruit of the Spirit, and so we're not going to go through all of it. But the scripture says over in Galatians 5, when it gives the fruit of the Spirit, before it does, he says, to walk after the Spirit and ye shall not do what? Remember? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, isn't that temptation? It's the lust of the flesh. And he goes through the works. He said fornication, adultery, drunkenness, idolatry, strife. And he goes through a list of the works of the flesh. What if we made a list of what everybody's been tempted with this week? Would that be encouraging? It might be eye-opening. Do you think it might actually encourage some of the young folks? It is all right to be tempted. But it's not all right to give in to it. It's sin. It's wrong. And we say, but how can we overcome that? Through the power of the Spirit. So we can spend all of our energy saying, okay, I don't want to strive. I don't want to speak impatiently. That was brought up. I don't want to speak impatiently. And I'm trying to bite my tongue. And I'm trying not to say what I shouldn't. And that's all well and good. But I'll tell you what, there's something even better. Get to the root of the problem. Get of the root of the problem. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I'm trying to get the weeds out of the yard. That's all well and good, but there's a way to fight it better. Go plant good seed, and when the weed seeds blow in, there's no room for them to get down in the earth because good seed, good grass is growing. That's what the sword of the Spirit does for us. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence. If you're having difficulty, and it seems like you're just trying to be... You're trying not to be impatient. Maybe you need to seek the Spirit to be more patient. You see, the difference is, it's not that I'm trying not to be impatient. On a positive thing, it's, Lord, I want you to help me to grow in patience. I want that fruit to develop, to have more love. And then when there are temptations to strive, the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit enables us to love and forgive. Stephen, when he was being stoned, he said, being full of the Holy Ghost, he lifted up his eyes into heaven, and that's when he forgave. How did he do it? By the sword of the Spirit. So instead of fighting this negative warfare, the sword of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, enables us to begin to foster good things in our life that when the devil comes in, there's just not the room for it. Well, people can fight uncleanness. It is rampant in our world today. I'll be specific about that. Young people, be careful about what you watch. Be careful about what you listen to. There has been too much coddling of immodesty and uncleanness in our world. And there have been a lot of people that are failing, and it brings sin in the life. I want to be real clear about that. But I want to tell you what the answer is. Yes, there are safeguards. There are things you need to do. There are things that parents need to do in the home to try to help safeguard some things. But I want to tell you, when you go out in the world, there's a battle out there, and the thing that's going to keep you is the power of the Holy Spirit that ministers not to the symptoms, but to the cause. We need to deal with the cause this morning. Get to the root of the problem. Well, there's some strife here. Let's try to not strive. Let's try not to be impatient. Let's try not to speak those words. Let's try to let that go. Yes, there's a place for that, but there's something stronger. Deal with what the cause is. There's an absence of love. There's an absence of patience. Lord, I need your Spirit. And I know our time is getting away this morning, but there's just a couple things I'd like to mention before I sit down on this sword of the Spirit. Because it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime of learning. The armor equips us. I remember many years ago, often, Brother Chuck would, and I hope y'all be willing to be corrected sometimes. You know, it seems like people just don't want to be corrected anymore, doesn't it? Brother Chuck used to correct people in the congregation. They'd say, I need more of the Holy Spirit. And he'd say, we either have the Holy Spirit or we don't. Ought to make people think a little bit. He said, we need to yield more to the Spirit. And this is a key to using, knowing how to use the sword that we have. It's true. When you give a boy a sword, he may go out there and know not how to use it very effectively. But he's got it. He's equipped. But as we grow in the Lord, we need to learn how to use the Spirit. And it comes down, and when we resist the devil, it comes about in yielding to the Lord. You know, when you're tempted and you hear that voice of the Spirit, that check of the Spirit, so what are you going to do with it? Now I have the Spirit of God and He's checked me. Lord, I submit to you. Submit to the Lord, submit to God, and resist the devil. It comes first by yielding. The Holy Spirit will give us that time and that opportunity to yield to Him before we are overwhelmed with the temptation and succumb to it. So if there are things in your life that you are just not getting victory over, and people that are back and forth between sin and the altar, and it's back and forth, the Holy Spirit can stabilize that, and He will give you that time when the enemy comes back in with the same temptation. It's still there because you're still in the flesh. The Lord will give you that time and say, okay, you don't have to do that anymore. You can say no to that, and He will give you a moment to make a decision. You will have time to say, is this really the road that I want to go down? No. Satan, get behind me in the name of Jesus. That's the power of the Spirit will enable you to follow through on your purposes and determination to serve the Lord. No, there's much more that can be said about that this morning, but I'd like to conclude there. But this is one of the most vital things in resisting the devil. It's having the power of the Spirit of God in our life. And I want to encourage us, if maybe I have the Spirit, but I just haven't been using it effectively, and I don't know how it all works. It's good to start praying. Seek counsel from those that maybe use their sword a little bit more. They can give you some counsel and give you some advice, but I want you to know this today. Young people and children and all of us, you do not have to live in defeat. There will be places of growth. There are places of spiritual maturing. And about the time you conquer one enemy, another one's going to come up. But it's by the power of the Holy Spirit we'll conquer that giant too. And we can keep going forward doing the work of God. So let's be of good courage. Let's take on the whole armor of God and know that the Spirit of the Lord is an offensive weapon that will enable us to live a life of victory. Amen.